Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a good word. It is a great word this morning. You know, we are talking Job and Psalms this morning. And maybe if God permits time, we will have a proverb. But, wow. You know, the word that I have, the reason we were a little behind is because the word kept changing. The title kept changing this morning because it was, you know, write it out or it's written or something. But then as I was wrapping everything up, the word that God gave me is God is the author of our stories. Only he knows the beginning and the ending. I thought, wow, that's profound. Only he knows the beginning and ending of our stories. We know nothing. We know nothing at all. No one knows your story's ending but God. No one knows your story's ending but God. We need to give God what is due God, credit. Credit for knowing everything about us. He knows our beginning and he knows our end. And only he knows our beginning and our end. Only he knows what we will go through. He knows when we will be attacked. He knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. Only God. You know, man can tell you anything he wants to say, but only God knows everything. Only God. And we need to start giving God credit for who he is, a great and mighty God who wrote your story, who knows your name, who knows every gray hair on your head, who knows every hair on your head. He knows all about you. You're good, you're bad, you're ugly. What folks know in the light and what folks don't know in the dark. Hallelujah. God knows everything. And let us give God the glory for what he has done. Not what we have done, but what God has done. He will never leave you or forsake you. In our word today, we know Job was thinking, God has left me. He has forsaken me. His friends are here trying to tell him everything when they don't know anything. They have no idea what this man is going through. They have no idea his struggles or his pain. But they're trying to write his story when they don't have the ink and they don't have the pen. Don't let anybody tell you your story. Only God knows your story because he's the author and the finisher. He wrote the beginning and he's writing the end. Anybody tell you who you are? Because only God knows all of you. You're good, you're bad, and you're sometimes ugly. But God knows it all. And only he can write your story. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be called children of the Most High God. Lord God, you have grafted us into your family. You have, hallelujah, stood us up, wiped us off, cleaned us up through salvation. Through the blood of Christ Jesus, Lord God, we are made whole. We are changed. We are new. We are a new creature, Lord God, because you have called us. You have gifted us, and you have given us callings that are irrevocable. No one can take who we are from us, because you, Lord God, finisher of our books, you are the only one that can tell our story. Father God, I thank you with my whole heart for all I've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because each time I go through, Lord, it is making me stronger, making me wiser, making me better, bringing me closer to you. For, Lord, I will trust in you. I will give you all of me, Father God. Use me for your glory. Father, I ask you this morning to increase as your daughter decreases. Lord, I give my humble heart to you. Please use me, Lord God. Speak through me what you want your children to hear. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my Father. And I am your child. I claim my inheritance. I claim you as my Father. I claim the Savior as my brother, my friend, my redeemer, who died on Calvary's cross for my sins. But Lord God, I know that he intercedes daily for me. And he speaks for me to you, Father God. Speak through me today through the Holy Spirit. Let your spirit reign in this place, oh God. Let those that hear this word, let it touch their hearts, their minds, and their spirit. That if they are not saved, they say, what must I do to be saved? But Lord God, we know that the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few. Lord, I am part of the workers. I'm a willing worker for your kingdom. Use me, Lord, to better your kingdom. Use me, Lord, in whatever way you need me to do, in whatever assignment you have for me. Lord God, may I do it decently and in order and well. For you, oh God, are my Father. You are my friend. You are my boss. And I am your willing worker. I am your servant in the vineyard. Guide me, Lord, and tell me what to do. And as always, Father God, I give myself away. Use me today. Let this word come alive in hearts, minds, and spirits as I read and teach it. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting in you. Tell my story. Amen. Only God knows us. He knows every bit of us. He knows our messes. He knows our tests. He knows our struggles. But great is his name above all the earth. Giving honor to God today. Let this word touch your heart, I pray. And let's get started. For those that are joining this new moving forward experience, we are a Bible reading, Bible teaching ministry. What we do is we read the Bible for readers. Especially King James readers. I come out of the New King James Version of Dr. Stanley's Daily Bible. And it's called the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And when I say life lessons, I say life questions, life examples. Those are commentary from Dr. Charles Stanley, and it is to help the word come alive and help you understand it a little bit better. And so I thank Dr. Stanley for his commentary, and a disclaimer, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries to hawk this Bible, but I will tell every one of you to please if you have the finances, whatever, this is a great Bible. You know, last night in our Bible study, you know, we studied, you know, we went to Joshua chapter 1. We were kind of all over, but one of the things that was said that we must meditate on this word day and night. And to meditate on this word, you need a Bible. To study this word day and night, to meditate on it, you need a Bible. And this daily Bible will help you to read the entire Bible in 1 year. We started in January 1st with Genesis chapter 1. And God willing, I would say God willing and the creek don't rise, finish this Bible on December 31st in Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And, you know, I always say I love the last words of the Bible. It's basic instruction before leaving earth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. That's how the Bible ends. That's the ending. But God is the author through this whole thing. And he has given us the ending. You can go to Revelation and read the last chapters of this life. You know, I don't know. I like to read, and I read a lot. And there are times where I have several books that I'm reading at the same time. And I don't know how, but I keep them all separated and in order. But the one thing that I can say is this book is the best book that I've ever read, and that I'm reading it again because I liked it that much. And my goal and my asking for God to give me is to be able to repeat what I read and where I read it, and to remember it, just like if you can remember George R. Martin's The Game of Thrones and, you know, those books like that, you can remember the Bible. And so I'm asking God, that is a desire of my heart, to remember scripture and to remember where I saw it and to be able to repeat it. So I don't want to be just a reader. I want to hoard this word. I want to put it all in my spirit and my mind. So that is one of my prayers, is to be able, even though I've read it, I understand it, I know different things, I want to know more, to be in my mind, in my spirit. I want to be like that, what is that movie, The Book of Eli? And nobody knows that what the whole thing is. He is the book. He is, that's the, you know, through the whole thing, you think he's carrying this Bible, but he is the Bible. He is the Word. And he's carrying it in his heart, in his mind, in his spirit. He has memorized the entire thing. He is the Bible. And that's the whole point of the movie. So if I ruined it for someone, I'm sorry. But you go through all of this drama, all this fighting, all this dumb battle, all this sword play, all of this stuff, because he's trying to get to a certain place. And where he's trying to get is so he can give the word to be rewritten. And God is protecting him through all the things. And you don't know until close to the end of the movie that he's blind. And you're thinking, how is he doing these things? He's blind. He can't see. But you wouldn't know he can't see, because God is taking him where he needs to go to get the word out. And there are those that are chasing after him because they think he has the book, when in fact he, wow, what a great movie. But anyway, author, finisher, God knows everything. He is writing our stories as I speak. And there's a word in Job that you will understand where this title comes from when we get to it in Job chapter 19. So let's get started in our word this morning. And as always, we ask God to add a blessing to the reading and teaching of his word. And I pray that it touches your heart as it has touched mine. And we are in the book of Job. And on yesterday, we ended, as always, on a finger. We ended with Job answering Eliphaz, his friend, the Temanite. And so Job is speaking in our lesson today. And this is what Job is saying. He said, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. And remember, Job is covered in boils. He's sitting in ashes, covered from in ashes from head to toe. In other words, Job is a dirty mess. He is tore up from the flow up. I should say he is tore up from the ground up. He's a mess. So now understand this. So, you know, you think about it. You're in pain all day, 24/7. Probably can't barely eat. You know, just in anguish. And so this is Job speaking. And he's telling these things to his friends from his heart, whether they want to listen or not, but he's telling them how he's feeling. And he's saying, the grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eyes dwell on their provocation? Now, put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden their hearts from understanding. Therefore, you will not exalt them. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of the children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one of whose face men spit. I have become one in whose face men spit. That is nothing nastier than being spit upon. Than being spat upon, there is nothing nastier. And he goes on to say, my eyes have also grown and become a sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrites. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past. My purposes are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart, they change the night into day. The light is near, they say, in the face of darkness. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? Now his friend, Bildad, the Shuhite, is getting ready to answer Job. And he says, how long till you put an end to words? Gain understanding, and afterwards we will speak. Why are you counted as beast and regarded as stupid in your sight? You who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be removed from its place? The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and a snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. Terrors frighten him on every side and drive him to his feet. His strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. It devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death uprooted from the shelter of his tent. And they parade him before the king of terrors. They dwell in his tent, who are none of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. His roots are dried out below, and his branch withers above. The memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. He is driven from the light into darkness and chased out of the world. He has neither son nor prosperity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Those in the west are astonished at his days, and those in the east are frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. And all I can say is, that is your friend? Bam. If that's a friend, then Lord, please don't show us your enemies. And in this life lesson from Dr. Stanley, try to get some of the scriptures that Dr. Stanley references so that we can get this word in context with the New Testament or with the Old Testament, whichever word that Dr. Stanley gives us. We want to do it the right way. And so we're going to go into our word, our Bible, and get some, pull some scriptures out too. So if you would join me in First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we will probably read First Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 as well, just so we get it all in context. So First Peter chapter 1, verse 1 is where we'll start. And it is again Paul. But let's get to the word. It says, where then is my hope? It says, in Christ, we have all the hope we will ever need. Regardless of our circumstances, God is begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 3. So we're going to go to 1 Peter. And it's Peter, and he's, you know, saying hi to all his folks. But we're going to go to verse 2, and then we'll hit verse 3. You know, and he tells who they are, and he says sanctification in the spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But then he says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. And when we go to this word, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Again, what God has for you is for you. For he is the author and the finisher of our stories, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And as we go to verse 6, it says, in this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. What's Job going through? He's going through some trials right now. Goes on to say that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold and that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not seek him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Come on now. God knows your story because God is the one that wrote it from beginning to end. Don't let anybody add a chapter to your story that God has already written for you. That's why the word is important. and understand what did God say in Romans on yesterday. The gifts and calling, your gifts and your callings are irrevocable. Don't let anybody tell you your story. God is the author of our stories. Only he knows the beginning and the end. And as we continue in Job chapter 19, and it says, then Job answered and said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And if indeed I have error remains with me, if indeed you exalt yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then that God has wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. If I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. And I'm sure that there are folks that feel that every day, that feel there is no justice when a loved one is murdered, when a loved one is killed, when someone dies. They feel there's no justice when a murderer walks free, when a rapist walks free, when a murderer isn't caught, when someone does some dirt and they never get punished for it, when people lie, cheat, and steal from those that are hopeless and helpless already, and they feel like they have no answers. Why, Lord? God says, because I'm writing your story, and your ladder will be greater. We got to trust God to write our stories. And we know in every story there's intrigue. I have not read too many stories where there is not some type of intrigue. There's not some good, there's some bad, there's some ugly. But through it all, the person perseveres to do great things, to have happy endings. I don't want to read a story where there's not a happy ending. And I believe our stories will have happy endings if we take the right path, if we make the right turn, when we trust in God with our whole heart. I believe that our story will have a happy ending. And as Job said in verse 8 of chapter 19, he says, and he has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side and I am gone. My hope he has uprooted like a tree. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his enemies. His troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamp all around my tent. He has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed, and my close friends gotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsed to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise, and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bones cling to my skin and to my flesh, and I have encamped. I have escaped by skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me, oh you my friends. For the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does and are not satisfied with my flesh? And sometimes we can speak into existence what we don't even realize we're speaking to existence. And Job is about to speak into existence his story. Come on, y'all. And it says, oh, that my words were written. Oops. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Bam. Can we say it is done? It is inscribed in a book. Your story is in the book. the greatest book ever written, the one bestseller that's always number one on the bestseller list. This basic instruction before leaving Earth, and yes, I'm getting giddy. Job spoke into existence. What did he say? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. And the church said, amen, they are. Wow. When God is writing your story, you may be in a book. Hallelujah. And Job was put in the book. His story was written down and put in the book. Ooh, let's keep it going, y'all. This word is so rich this morning. It says that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pin and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that our stories are engraved and written in the book. The book of life has our story. And when we stand before the throne and the book is open, God will tell you your story. And you will know at that moment and at that time if you have a happy ending, if you get eternal life. Hallelujah. So live your book. Trust in God and know that your story is being written. And it goes on to say, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that is my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Now my heart yearns within me. If you should say, how shall we persecute him, since the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword for yourselves, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is about me. Let me tell you something. There will be a judgment for you too. Then Zophar, the Naamanite, answered and said, therefore my anxious thoughts make me answer. Because of the turmoil within me, I have heard the rebuke that reproaches me, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. Do you not know that of old, since man was placed on earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment? Though his haughtiness mounts up to the heavens, and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own refuge. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and not be found. Yes, he will be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place behold him anymore. His children will seek the favor of the poor, and his hands will restore his, and his hands will restore his wealth. His bones are full of his youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in the dust. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he spares it and does not forsake it, but still keep it in his mouth, yet his food in his stomach turns sour. It becomes a cobra's venom within him. He swallows down riches and vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. He will suck the poison of cobras. The viper's tongue will slay him. He will not see the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and cream. He will restore that for which he labored and will not swallow it down. From the proceeds of business, he will get no enjoyment, for he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized a house which he did not build, because he knows no quietness in his heart. He will not save anything he desires. Nothing is left from him to eat. Therefore, his well-being will not last. In his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress every hand of misery will come against him. When he is about to fill his stomach, God will cast on him the fury of his wrath and will rain it on him while he is eating. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. It is drawn and comes out of the body. Yes, the glittering point comes out on him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasures. An unfanned fire will consume him. It shall go ill with him who is left in his tent. The heavens will reveal his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. The increase of his house will depart, and his goods will flow away in the day of his wrath. This is a portion from God for a wicked man. The heritage appointed to him by God. Wow. And that's his friend? That's supposed to be his friend talking to him like that? If I have friends like that, y'all can stay away. I'd rather just be by myself. My goodness. What a word from a so-called friend. So let's go back to some life lessons and questions in chapter 19 and chapter 20. And this is answers to life questions. How can I handle criticism during times of adversity? And this is Job 19:17 through 26. And this is what Dr. Charles Stanley has to say. And I just have to say one more time, I absolutely love this pastor. This man preaches so humbly, and he preaches from his heart that when you hear it, you get it. You understand the word that he is speaking and that he is teaching. Even in this Bible commentary, it makes what we've read more understandable. So I give kudos to Dr. Stanley, to his ministry, and I say again, if you have opportunity, buy this Bible. It is more than worth it. It is awesome. This is a great Bible. And if you have the Life Principles regular Bible, it is also a great Bible. I've looked at it. I haven't purchased it yet, but I will be purchasing that Bible. You know, my feeling is you can never have too many Bibles. You know, just don't get the same Bible every time. Get something different so that you get different ways of studying. You know, make sure you get a Concordia and, you know, that you get the different types of things that you need to study. You know, I have little books that I keep, and they're just little books that, you know, fit in my Bible bag. You know, how to study the Bible. Know your Bible. You know, 199 Promises of God. You know, those are just a few of the little books that I use and study from and write down things. And, you know, it's always good to study and go to school and get more understanding of the word. Go to classes. And the best classes are Sunday school and Bible study. They just help you in your walk. You know, just, you know, go to church. You know, and if your church is not teaching the word of God, find another church that is. Because it is too important not to study this word. Because the word tells us to meditate on it day and night. And that's what we must do. And it says, in times of adversity, life can sometimes seem to so bleak and dark that we feel on the verge of giving up hope. Others around us may foretell doom and encourage us to face what they see as inevitable. Job's wife was one such person. After a painful boils covered Job from the soles of his soles of his feet to the crown of his head, she said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Job chapter 2, verse 9. And what did he tell the woman? "You foolish." Job wisely responded to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" The scriptures add this important line, "In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Job chapter 2, verse 10. When you face difficult circumstances and then have to endure negative opinions and comments from others, you need the courage to stay positive, to continue to believe that the Lord is with you. Hope and faith are not automatic responses in times of hardship and trial. They require an exercise of the will, bolster with courage. So the psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Psalms 42:5, what a word. At times, you must say aloud to yourself, "I know that God has a purpose in this. I know that God will bring me through this. I know that God is good and loving Father, and that he is doing a good and eternal work in my life." If no one else speaks hope to you, then you need to speak it to yourself. Hallelujah. If no one speaks hope to you, you got to speak it to yourself. I speak hope over my life. Say, "I speak hope over my life, Lord. I give myself away. I speak hope. I know that my ladder will be greater because you are in my life." Hallelujah. Whew, I got carried away. I love you, God. You may also need courage to withstand the enemies moving against your life. In other words, those who are causing your adversity. Moses realized that Joshua and the Israelites would face such trials, so he said to God's people, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Deuteronomy 31:6. And you also find those words in Joshua 1. And it says, "Ask the Lord to give you the courage to continue to believe in him and in his presence with you as you go through adversity. Ask him to renew your hope and faith, and know that he loves to honor such faithful requests." Thank you, Jesus. Job 19:23. "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book from Job's mouth to God's ear." Even as Job spoke these words, God was getting ready to put them in the book of books, the Bible, for all time and for the benefit of his hurting people. He is at work even when we do not know it. But he is not a man. God neither eats nor sleeps. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Job 20:4-5. "Do you not know?" Come on now. "Do you not know this of old, since man was placed on earth?" This is his friend speaking. "The company of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment." And it says, this is only half of the story. The other half is that the suffering of the righteous is short, and the agony of the godly is but for a moment. Romans 8:18. Present pain does not necessarily reveal divine judgment. Praise the Lord. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, family. Even in your trials, praise God. Thank you, Lord, because everything we go through is for a purpose and a reason. For God is writing our story. He is writing our story. He knows our beginning. He knows our end. Hallelujah. But he allows us to help him write it in between, because he gives us free will. But understand, he is the one that determines that ending. And as we read this word of God, Job 21, and it says, "Then Job answered and said, listen carefully to my speech, and let this be your consolation. Bear with me that I may speak, and after I have spoken, keep mocking. As for me, is my complaint against man, And if it were, why should I not be impatient? Look at me and be astonished. Put your hand over your mouth. Even when I remember, I am terrified, and trembling takes hold of my flesh. Why do the wicked live and become old, yet become mighty in power? Yes, become mighty in power. Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull breeds without failure. Their cow calves without miscarriage. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and harp and rejoice to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Yet they say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him? Indeed, their prosperity is not in their hands. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. Now, how often is the lamp of the wicked put out? How often does their destruction come upon them? The sorrow God distributes in his anger. They are like straw before the wind and like chaff that a storm carries away. They say God lays up one's iniquity for his children. Let him recompense him that he may know it. Let his eyes seek his destruction. Let him drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what does he care about his household after him? When the number of his months is cut in half, can anyone teach God knowledge? Since he judges those on high, one dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His pale and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. They lie down alike in the dust, and worms cover them. Look, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me. For you say, where is the house of the prince? And where is the tent, the dwelling place of the wicked? Have you not asked those who travel the road? And do you not know their signs? For the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on the day of wrath. Who condemns his way to his face, and who repays him for what he has done? Yet he shall be brought to the grave, and a vigil kept over the tomb. The clod of the valley shall be sweet to him. Everyone shall follow him, as countless have done before him. How then can you comfort me with empty words, since falsehood remains in your answer? Then, of course, here's one of the friends to answer Job. And Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable to God, though he who is wise may be profitable to himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous, or is it gain to him that you make your way blameless? Is it because your fear of him that he corrects you and enters into judgment with you? Is not your wickedness great and your iniquity without end? For you have taken pledges from your brother for no reason and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have not given the weary water to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. But the Almighty man, possessed the land, and the honorable man dwells in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the strength of the fatherless was crushed. Therefore snares are all around you, and sudden fear troubles you, or darkness so that you cannot see, and abundance of your water covers you. Is not God in the height of heaven? And see the highest stars, how lofty they are. And you say, what does God know? Can he judge through the deep darkness? The clouds cover him so that he cannot see. And he walks above the circle of heaven. Will you keep to the old way which wicked men have trod, who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were swept away by a flood? They said to God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see and are glad, and the innocent laugh at them. Surely our adversaries are cut down, and the fire consumes their remnant. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Then you will lay your gold in the dust and the gold of Orpah among the stones of the brooks. The Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty. And lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down and you say exaltations will come, that he will save the humble person. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hand. Wow. And a life lesson from chapter 22, verse 3. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? We're going to go over to quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I mean, you know, I just sat here and I listened. You know, some of what they're saying, you would think, oh, they telling them the truth. But are they telling them what they're saying in their own sanctified minds? Because sometimes we can be so heavenly minded and no earthly good. And his friends, I have those that heavenly mind, no earthly good spirit on them. They think they know everything and that Job is a sinner and that he did something wrong and that he's suffering because of what he did. That's their story, and they sticking to it. This is what it says. Actually, the answers are yes and yes. In fact, God delights in the obedience of his people. We're going to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, and we're going to also read verse 23. And it says, so Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, this is when Saul went and made a sacrifice of ill-gotten gains. And this is, you know, I'm going to go back real quick. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. But remember, he was supposed to kill everything, wipe it out. But instead, he brought back the king. He brought back some of the cattle, you know, and it says, I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep, and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, and Gilgal. Okay. Now Samuel is getting ready to go off. He is getting ready to go off. You know, and let's go all the way back up to 17. It says, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoils and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And this is what, and then so he was trying to make, you know, excuse. But this is what Samuel says. So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. God don't play. And when we go over to our next word, and it says this, and takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. So I'm going to read it one more time. Actually, the answer is yes and yes. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? The answer is yes. In fact, God delights in obedience of his people. Because what did he say? Obedience is better than sacrifice in 1 Samuel. And then it says, and takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. And we're going to go over to Psalms 147, verse 11. Psalms 147, verse 11. And we may have to go back a little bit to make sure we get it in context. And this is what it says. And the title of this word is praise to God for his word and providence. But verse number 11 says this. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Wow, what a word. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. And that is our word for this morning. I thank God for this wonderful word. On Sunday, we will be in Psalms and Romans and Proverbs. And I am just grateful that God has given us his great word this morning. You know, we must understand that everything has a purpose. It has a reason. And God is always on the throne. He is writing your story. Will you have a great story or will you have a bad story? God gives you opportunity all through from beginning to end to determine your story because he has given you free will. But understand that the gifts and the calling he has given you is irrevocable. Nobody can take what God has given you. Don't give away what God has given you. If you are called to do whatever your assignment, do your assignment. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. You do what God calls you to do, and God will open doors for you to do it. Just be patient and wait on the Lord, for he is writing your story. God is the author of our story. Only he knows the beginning. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. We give honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength. Keep trusting God. Keep believing in God. And keep knowing that God is faithful. And have faith. And Sister Carolyn would say, have a faithful Friday. But let's see what Sister Carolyn is saying for today. And that's what she said. Isn't God good? And this is what Sister Carolyn has written today. Good morning. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Have a faith-filled Friday. I love Sister Carolyn. She just always knows what God has put in my heart. But I say this again, faith. As God writes our stories, have faith. Eternal life. Thank you so much, family. It is a wrap this morning, and I pray over you and yours. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, and in God who loves us more than anything. Keep God first in all you do and watch him work in your life. Thanking God for each of you for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that you can meditate on this word day and night. Be blessed. It's a wrap.